There are now only four more places available in the last 16 after two more clubs booked their spot in the first knockout round on a night of unrelenting UEFA Champions League drama. 31 goals in eight extraordinary matches. Arsenal and PSV will be in the draw for the next phase. We had comebacks, goal of the season contenders and drama right to the end on a Wednesday night to remember. Plenty to review over the next 30 minutes or so. Chris Parrott and joined tonight by the European football expert Daniele Fisichella. An almost impossible question to start, Daniele. Your standout match of an amazing evening.
We have to go to the early commentary to Galatasaray, Manchester United 3-3. Because it's been a game that both teams could have won right until the end. A lot of chances and some fantastic goals as well. Bruno Fernandes and Arthur Koglu, the standout. And when they thought Manchester United were finally getting a grip into the game, then the reaction from Galatasaray has been brilliant. But a very open match right until the end, which leaves that group wide open as well, considering that amazing achievement of Copenhagen getting a 0-0 in Munich.
Yeah, that was the two Group A scorelines. Plenty more on that section to come. Group B, Arsenal 6, Lens 0, and Sevilla 2, PSV 3. Told you it was a good night. Group C, Real Madrid 4, Napoli 2, Braga 1, Union Berlin 1. And in Group D, Benfica 3, Inter 3, and Real Sociedad 0, Salzburg 0. We could have started almost anywhere, but we will begin in Group B because two sides went through. Arsenal hosted Lens in one of the late games. Daniele watched this one for Matchday Live alongside John Bradley.
The header up is towards goal and it comes to Havertz and Samba can't keep it out. An Arsenal lead and it's an absolute gift. Well, Saka dancing across the midfield and it might break for Gabriel Jesus. Wonderful first touch, absolutely brilliant goal. Oh, it's outstanding from Gabriel Jesus.
What a beauty. The control, the calmness, and then he slots, he almost passes into the net in a very crowded area.
Gabriel Martinelli inside the penalty. Little dummy from him, saved by the goalkeeper. It's come out to Bukayo Saka, and it's three for Arsenal. And we're only midway through the first half. Martinelli goes one way, goes the other, shoots and scores. Oh, that's astonishing. Arsenal are running riot in North London. Lens don't even know what's hit them.
Martinelli takes it on his chest. He's giving a torrid time to Frankowski, who doesn't know if they have to come short. He needs to wait for him. He gets into the box and then, with the right foot, places it next to the goal.
Tomiyasu breaking. It comes all the way across. It's five for Arsenal. It's Martin Odegaard with a left-foot volley from 10 metres out. As crisp and clean as you could strike a ball. It has been irresistible Arsenal in this first half. Arsenal 5, Lens 0. Jorginho normally gives us a couple of little dummies on the way up. Tonight it's straight up and rolled into the bottom corner of the net. Jorginho becomes the sixth Arsenal scorer of a sensational 6-0 lead. Arsenal 6, Lens 0.
Well, John joins myself and Daniele now. Going into this match after the amazing scenes in Seville, Arsenal knew what they had to do. Lens were well aware they needed to get the result to keep their Champions League hopes alive. But pretty much from minute one, Arsenal looked like a team who were in the mood, not just to win, but to win handsomely.
Yeah, I think given what had happened in the return game in northern France a couple of months ago, where Arsenal were beaten, they were the better side on the night, but they lost their way in that game. And there have been a few questions about Arsenal as well, about having to grind out results of late, and they've sent a real message out to the doubters with this sort of performance. They were outstanding from the first whistle. The first goal is a little bit of a gift. Lens lost their way defensively for a period, but there was that 6-minute period around the midway point in the first first half, where we saw goals from the front three. And what I would say there is that I remember when Klopp's Liverpool became contenders in the Champions League, when they first reached the final in Kiev against Madrid. Then they beat Tottenham and they continued. And they had this front three, this dynamic front three of Salah, Firmino and Mane. And everyone was terrified of them. And I'm telling you now that you look at Saka, Gabriel Jesus and Martinelli, and I see almost a mirror image of that front three and the way they can cause so many problems for any team, no matter where, who they're playing against, no matter who they are. And Arsenal are a threat.
Some stats coming out from this game. Bukayo Saka, just the third player on record to both score and assist in three consecutive home games in the Champions League, carrying Benzema and Luis Suarez the other two. This is his first season in the competition, remember. Arsenal, the first English team to lead by five or more goals at half-time in a Champions League match. And their four goals within 27 minutes, the joint fastest an English side has ever scored in the UEFA Champions League. Absolutely magnificent achievement from the English side, and we can hear from one of that fearsome front three now, Gabriel Jesus.
From the start, we were amazing, you know, everyone. We go full gas, you know. It's not normal we score like five goals quick like that, you know. And then after, obviously, we control more the game, and then they try to come, and the second half, they stay more with the ball. Yeah. It was a little bit tricky, difficult for us to keep the ball. But at the end, you know, everyone played amazing. The team performance was top. Now we have to keep going, you know, because Saturday we have another one big.
You can almost hear from him the not just the words, but the whole intonation. He knows that was very, very impressive. Used the word amazing a couple of times. And Daniele, you and John touched on it when you were commentating on the game, that there have been many former players in England who have been really impressed by how Arsenal have been harder to beat but not scoring as many goals. Some even saying that they're following on from what Manchester City have done and being a bit more circumspect. Tonight, they looked solid at the back, but also they were free-flowing and at their best as an attacking force.
It confirms that to stop Arsenal, as a couple of teams have done so far in the Premier League, you need to work really, really, really hard. And you can't just wait for them to take possession and move the ball. They are absolutely clinical and very skillful in doing so. They got a confidence and they got a swagger about them that obviously, having gone toe-to-toe with Manchester City last season, gives them, and that extra confidence has been carried into the Champions League. They have made the most of the spaces that Lance left them, but also have shown a desire and a drive to add to the score tally, even when the game was pretty much settled.
It was March 2017 that they lost 5-1 home and away against Bayern, and that's how long they've been away from this competition. Tonight, those supporters, that long wait, this is what it's all about, being at this level, producing that sort of performance. And those supporters, you know, who went to a final in 2006 and saw the team go close on numerous occasions will feel that their Arsenal is back. Their Arsenal is a contender again at the very highest level of European competition.
Nobody is going to want to draw them, that is for sure, in the next phase. Because remember, Arsenal, with that very, very impressive win against Lens at home, not only went through, they also wrapped up the section. They will be one of the seeded sides in the draw for the last 16. They're also going to be joined in that draw by PSV Eindhoven, one of the great stories of a remarkable evening. They went to Sevilla in one of the early games, 12 wins out of 12 in the Dutch Eredivisie, picked up their first win in the Champions League group stage for many years last time out at home. They were 2-0 down to a Sergio Ramos goal and then a very fine counter-attacking goal from Youssef En-Nesyri. Then the match swung on the 66th minute when Lucas Ocampos was shown a red card. Sevilla 2-0 up at this stage. PSV scored a wonder goal through Ismaïl Saïbari with a brilliant left-footed volley to make it 2-1. You thought, is that just a consolation? No, it wasn't. Then Nemanja Gudelj put through his own net with 9 minutes to go to make it 2-2. And then Ricardo Pepi stepped up in the 92nd minute to win it. Peter Bosz did a jig down the touchline, and that result, coupled with Arsenal's win, enough to send the 1988 winners through to the round of 16. One of their standout performances was Johan Bakayoko, and after the match he spoke to Simon Hart.
Johan, we could hear you celebrating in the dressing room next door. Can you just sum up, tell us the emotions after that incredible comeback?
I think you don't even imagine how hopeless he's feeling, because it's been a while that we even didn't win an away game in the Champions League. So we are really proud to be part of history. And we make a big step into the knockout phase. We will watch the game of Arsenal against Lens, and we will see. But we are really proud.
You say you're proud, but how did you do it? What happened out there?
I think we didn't start well because we gave away two easy goals, I think. And we didn't start sharp, but with the subs, they did it amazingly. And we turned out the game, and after the red card, we really played how we usually play, and that was nice.
Once you got the first goal, did you feel it coming? Did you feel more goals were in there?
Yeah, I was sure after the first goal. That's what we won this game. I didn't know when or how, but I was sure we would win this game, and that's what we did.
How confident is this team now?
I think from the start of the season, we were always confident. I think even the first game when we lose 4-0, we played with confidence. And we lose the 4-0, but we were really proud after the game. We were proud, like, we just stay to our plan and we just play like we usually play, and that was the thing.
Johan Bakayoko there, and you heard him say it, Daniele, that they were going to watch the game. Of course, that was one of the early matches, so the way it works is that it's a bit nervous. You don't know whether you're through or not. They would have absolutely loved Arsenal's performance, but that is a serious achievement for PSV, back themselves in the Champions League group stage for a while at least, with a match to spare to be through to the round of 16.
And the campaign started very badly with a 4-0 defeat at Arsenal. And I think with PSV this season, we're always going to see goals, we're always going to see emotions, because it's a team managed by Peter Bosz. Peter Bosz likes to play that kind of football. They got an immense drive about them as well. They got a perfect record in the Eredivisie. So it is one of those teams that, of course, are always going to look to score one more than you. And it's never going to be a dull 0-0 with them. And they set up a nice game for the last game of the group against Arsenal. Of course, is irrelevant for the classification. But I think PSV are going to go for it, and they're going to finish with a bang. Because, again, it's about carrying momentum into the knockout stages. And, you know, taking an important scalp like Arsenal could definitely help their credentials.
Absolutely. So, Group B done and dusted in terms of who's going through. Arsenal first, PSV second, Lens and Sevilla. Now, that is going to be an interesting game on match day six, because they meet in France. Lens are 3 points ahead of Sevilla, so if they get anything from that game, then they will head into the UEFA Europa League, which would be some achievement still for a team who were playing.
Or the Sevilla League, as we call it.
Or Sevilla win that game by the margin that they need to, and they'll be back in a competition that they nearly always win. So Group B was good. Group A was equally a spellbinding, to be honest with you. Galatasaray hosted Manchester United in a massive match for both teams in Istanbul. This one, for Match Day Live, was watched by the former England striker Leanne Sanderson and Joe Shannon.
Hoyland trying to spin on the turn. Back to Bruno Fernandes. Garnacho's in space. Angle tight. Rifles it in. It's Alejandro Garnacho for Manchester United again. What a vital goal that is in their Champions League campaign. And now Bruno Fernandes, 25 metres out, left of centre. Shoots. Oh, he's rattling into the top corner. That's a magical goal from the Manchester United captain, Bruno Fernandes.
What a goal from Bruno Fernandes. I was thinking it was opening up. Nobody was going to him. And I think he was looking to his right to see if he had any options. He had a couple there. You saw Hoyland was there, but the way he knuckles this ball, absolutely brilliant. Muslera has no chance.
It's Hakim Ziyech curling it left foot in, through the wall and in! Beyond the Nana! And Hakim Ziyech has a route back into the match for Galatasaray. And could that change everything in the group again? Antony's laid it wide to the right, and Wan-Bissaka pulls it across. Scott McTominay there to tap it into the near post, and the flag stays down. It's 3-1 to Manchester United.
Really nice ball across, made it look simple, and Scott McTominay was there on that front post. It looked like it was going to almost be dummy to go to Hoyland, but it was a really good finish and a really good play for Manchester United.
Been very heavy here. Ziyech goes for goal again, and Onana has let it squirm through his grasp, and Galatasaray have a goal back again, and once more it's Hakim Ziyech from the free kick, straight through the gloves of Andre Onana. Meanwhile, at the other end, Akter Kono rifles it in! It's 3-3! This is absolutely astonishing! The super sub took it in his stride and just leathered it beyond the helpless Onana.
That is an absolutely brilliant take from Atakoglu, fantastic strike. Brilliant ball from Hakim Ziyech. A lot of power was on it, but he had to do all the work there.
And the referee puts his whistle to his lips and blows the full-time whistle. One of the most extraordinary UEFA Champions League group stage matches that we have ever seen. The final score, Galatasaray 3, Manchester United 3.
The highlight mix for that game could have been 10, 15 minutes, to be honest. It was incredible. Manchester United have now scored 9 goals away from home in this season's group stage, but amazingly have only picked up 1 point on the road. Well, after everyone regained their breath, Joe and Leanne gave their thoughts on what was a captivating contest.
It was unbelievable. I mean, the game in October that was 3-2, that was a good game as well, but it was nowhere near the levels of this. I mean, Joe said it during commentary, it was almost like basketball. You know, you couldn't take your eyes off of it. The midfield was being completely missed out. I think when Amrabat went off, that was when it kind of opened up a little bit more, because he's a type of player that provides that protection in front of the back line. But it was absolutely incredible. We saw some amazing goals. But other than that, I thought it was a good performance of Manchester United. They've scored 6 goals now in 2 games, which is a positive, you know, but it was a fantastic. Hakim Ziyech, special mention to him. I thought he was brilliant.
The kind of game that coaches will hate, obviously, but from a neutral's perspective, the lack of control that either side had on proceedings, there was a kind of beauty in that. And actually, much of the drama came after the equaliser from Galatasaray. Once that we'd got the game to 3-3, huge chances at both ends. Manchester United probably won't believe that they haven't managed to win that game. And obviously, I think the match ultimately turned on the second Ziyech free kick. A disappointing moment for Onana and Manchester United, but it was a game that will live long in the memory for the pure drama and entertainment that we saw tonight.
Well, Joe mentioned him there. Let's hear from Galatasaray's Moroccan star Hakim Ziyech. He was the player of the match after those goals, which helped set up a match day 6 showdown against Copenhagen.
Of course, I mean, it's the final for us, and we have it in our own hands, and we have to do what we have to do, and you know, win that game and qualify ourselves for the next stages. I like to perform on these kind of stages, and you know, I'm always trying to do my best, and yeah, it's nothing better than in this type of games.
He was magnificent. He really was a match for the ages in Istanbul. The other game, the late game, finished 0-0. Bayern's record run of 17 straight group stage wins came to an end. Copenhagen really battling performance. The goalkeeper made a number of excellent saves, but they kept Bayern out, who were already through. This a huge point for Copenhagen, because this is how Group A looks. Bayern on 13 points, then come Copenhagen second on 5 points, Galatasaray on 5, and Manchester United on 4. And Daniele, that means that Copenhagen know that in many ways it's in their own hands. If they win at home, they will be through. Manchester United bottom, they can still go through, but they now have to beat Bayern and ultimately hope that the other match falls in their favour. This section has been verging on ludicrous, frankly, in terms of entertainment, and it is going to go to match day 6 for that second spot behind Bayern.
And I think the Danish side are going to go into the last game with a lot of confidence. Last season, they didn't lose any of the three home matches they played in the group stages. They were eliminated, nonetheless. But they held their own and they were in the group with Manchester City. This season, they already beat Manchester United. Against Bayern, they managed to score a goal. And I think they are the unsung hero of tonight, going into Munich, where Bayern Munich has an amazing record in the group stages. I think they are unbeaten in 29 or 30 home matches in the group stages. And they earn a 0-0 draw. It's so important. At the end of the game, they celebrated as if they had won the tie, really. And now they give themselves a very good chance to progress. But of course, Galatasaray will have something to say. It is a team that has got goal scorers. We saw it. And yes, of course, they will fancy the chances. Of course, for Manchester United, it's disappointing. It's no longer in their hands. And no matter whether Bayern are going to rest players or not, they might just fall short.
Of course, Galatasaray heading back to Parken as well, just to add to the storyline, where they famously won the UEFA Cup in the year 2000 with their current coach in their team. Will Parken be a delight again for the Turkish champions? We will see. That is all to come in 2 weeks' time. Still to come this evening, we will look back at Wednesday's other four matches in the UEFA Champions League.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Next to Group C, where Real Madrid hosted Napoli, and this one was pretty entertaining as well at the Bernabeu. Here is how it unfolded with your commentator, Rob Daly.
Kvaratskhelia again, left side of the area. His cross is deep, and it's good, and it's going to be a goal, is it? Oh, Lunin has kept it out. No, it is a goal to Napoli. Giovanni Simeone was attacking it, and right now it's Real Madrid 0, Napoli 1. Rodrigo looking for the shooting angle! My word! He's done it again for Real Madrid! Alaba's cross, Bellingham's header! What a goal from Real Madrid! And it is Jude Bellingham once again! His iconic celebration, he stands arms aloft and soaks in the adulation. Di Lorenzo clips it in, Anguissa onside, drives it across, pops back to the midfielder, who scores for Napoli. Real Madrid switched off defensively early in this second half, and it's a thumping strike from Anguissa. Past Lunin and Napoli are level. Nico Paz, lovely turn away from his man, and he'll shoot! Oh, what a goal! A dream moment for Nico Paz! Left side of the box here, Bellingham. His low cross is spot on for another Real Madrid goal. And Hozelu this time cannot miss to make it 4-2 and seal the win.
Well, as you heard, he was sensational. Jude Bellingham once more. He was the UEFA player of the match. And we can hear from him now.
Let's get into the habit of winning here at home, especially when we have to face adversity and setbacks. So yeah, it's really nice for us to keep this feeling of winning games, because there's no better feeling. It's important that I keep going and try and help the team win trophies by the end of the season, not at the start. So yeah, all the games are just as important as each other, but yeah, it's important that I keep my feet on the ground and keep working.
Humble as ever, Jude Bellingham, Rob, but the stats are stacking up very, very nicely.
Yeah, we just haven't seen anything like this before, really. And to say that about a club like Real Madrid, who've won 14 Champions League European Cups, is staggering. So it's 15 goals in his first 16 games for Real Madrid. His header was brilliant, by the way. And he was the best player on the pitch. They had 8 players missing today, Real Madrid. He steps up in these moments, and he's also now scored in his first 4 Champions League games for the club. No Real Madrid player has done that previously. He looked
he really did play like Zinedine Zidane tonight. I mean, a lot's been made of the fact he's wearing Zidane's iconic number 5 on his back, but he's playing in such a similar way to the former Juventus and France star. You can't help but make the comparison. Saying that, Zidane's best ever single season goal tally for Real Madrid was 12. He never had more than 3 in a Champions League season. Bellingham surpassed that already, and it's only the end of November. I think even in Spain, they cannot believe what he's done so far for Real Madrid.
And he is still so young as well. Of course, the game started difficult for Real Madrid, as we've seen this season, actually, in the group stage a fair bit. But they have that ability to come back. Rodrigo with another important moment for him. He's feels like he's been a Real Madrid player for a while, but we forget it. He's not the oldest, to put it politely.
And he's stepping up in the absence of Vinicius Junior, one of those 8 out at the moment. Rodrigo scored 2 goals exactly like this at the weekend in a win against Cadiz 3. Cuts in onto his right foot, delays the shot, and then hits it into the top corner. His finishing is premium right now. 6 goals in his last 4 games. And that was the equaliser after Napoli's, you know, bright start. They scored. A notable game tonight as well for Napoli, because it was Walter Mazzarri's first Champions League match back in charge of the club. Lots of young Real Madrid players. I think that's the encouraging thing shining for them tonight.
5 wins from 5. They are 8 points ahead of second place Napoli now, who for much of the night were going through, Rob, until the other game turned and it finished eventually 1-1. Union Berlin once more in their debut season in the competition, showing that they have the ability away from home to pick up points, and they are still without a win, of course, but it does set it up very, very nicely now for that match day 6 game between the second and third place teams in this section.
Yeah, it really does. So Napoli were going through with a draw because it was 1-1 in the other match between Union Berlin and Braga. But the defeat means they haven't gone through tonight. They're 3 points above Braga, and they are now in this nervy position. Look, all they need to do is back in Italy is avoid defeat, and they will be in the round of 16 again. But given the amount of situations, promising attacking positions they got themselves into at the Bernabeu, the problems they caused Real Madrid at times, I think they'll be frustrated to not got this done and dusted tonight.
Rob, potentially Napoli could actually even lose 1-0 to Braga, and because of the goal difference, they will still go through. So they are obviously in a great position. I think they take heart from the fact that for 85 minutes they matched Real Madrid. They went toe-to-toe with them. And it seems that Mazzarri has been able to restore a bit of confidence about them.
There was a unity about them as well, Daniela. I mean, when they made it 2-2, when Anguissa fired in just after half-time, the players rushed over to Mazzarri, and they all players and all coaching staff got in this extraordinary huddle of about 30 people, like they just scored a last minute winner. Maybe Napoli needed that kind of unity, you know, at this spell in the season. They've got tough games coming up with Inter and Juventus in the coming weeks, and now a massive game with Braga. Certainly needed for Napoli, given that it's been a difficult start to the season by their high standards.
So Group C, as we mentioned, Real Madrid, 5 wins from 5 and looking to join the perfect club. Hasn't happened that often, teams winning 6 out of 6. They have the opportunity to add their name to the list, which they are already on, of course. The final section, Group D, was no less entertaining, really. Real Sociedad and Inter were already through before match day 5. It finished goalless between Real Sociedad and Salzburg. The entertainment, though, Daniele, was in the match between Benfica and Inter. Benfica have their first point, but they'll be disappointed not to have 3 points, because they were 3-0 up thanks to a hat-trick from João Mário, a former Inter man, inside 34 minutes, but a wonderful comeback from last season's beaten finalists.
Inter made 8 changes to the team that drew 1-1 against Juventus, so it was very much the reserves who played, and perhaps the approach at the beginning of the game wasn't right, but then the pride of Inter came out in the second half, and actually Inter were almost close to win the game as Benfica then were reduced to 10 men. Inzaghi put on Thuram, who get got the penalty that Sanchez converted, Lautaro Martinez. But yeah, in the end, it's going to be a showdown with Real Sociedad. If Inter wins, they finish first. The Spanish side, they got two results out of three at the to play for at the San Siro.
Yeah, that's going to be an important game. Everyone will want to top their section if they are through, of course, in terms of the draw for the round of 16. Benfica up and running, 3 points behind Salzburg, who sit in third spot and currently are heading into the UEFA Europa League. OK, final thoughts from the team then after what was genuinely a brilliant night of group stage football. John Bradley, please, your moment of the night.
I think Kai Havertz has had a difficult time last couple of years with what happened at Chelsea and moving to Arsenal. A late winner at the weekend, a goal tonight and a very good performance. Looks back to his best, looks full of confidence and looks like the player who, of course, scored a winner in this competition.
For me, it's the goal from Arthur Koglu that seals the draw in the Alice Amien. A fantastic strike and probably the best goal of a night of a game that has been at the top, really, in terms of Champions League emotions and show and spectacles.
Chris, I'm going to have to go for 19-year-old Nico Paz, Argentina youth international, made his debut match day four for the club, having played for the youth team. Attacking midfielder has been scoring lots of goals for Real Madrid, Mac Castilla. And then 6 minutes to go, 2-2, 25 metres out. Unbelievable half-turn, span away from his man. Crisp low shot to make it 3-2. His face was a picture. He couldn't believe it. And, of course, it makes me think about our very own Paz, you, Chris Parrott. It's your birthday. He is half your age as of today. So it seems fitting that Nico Paz should get up and running in the Champions League for Real Madrid tonight.
Can't believe it. It is actually my nickname. It's his surname. Remarkable scenes. Congratulations to him. Congratulations to Real Madrid winning again. So match day six. 12 teams through. Still four more spots to be decided. We're back on Tuesday, the 12th of December from 6 p.m. CT for more live commentary, interviews and analysis. It promises to be a brilliant night, as does the Wednesday. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it is a very good night.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.